100 years ago today, a group of Republican prisoners in Cork Jail began a hunger strike that was to have significant ramifications for what became known as the War of Independence. During the first half of 1920, the IRA had intensified its attacks on the Royal Irish Constabulary, the Black and Tans and the Auxiliaries, making parts of the country in effect no-go areas for the authorities. The British response included the arrest and of known and suspected Republican activists and sympathisers, a group of whom were held without trial in Cork Jail. Dr. Gabriel Doherty is a historian from University College Cork, and he's in our Cork studio now to tell us more. A very good morning to you,
Dr.
Doherty, and thank you for talking to us. Now, tell us, why did these prisoners undertake this hunger strike beginning this day 100 years ago?
I think you've touched on it already there, that they had been held in jail, in some cases for nearly a year, without trial. In their view, in effect, they had been interned illegally, and they went on hunger strike simply to demand their release.
Many of them, of course, may well have not been in a very fit condition to face this ordeal, and it continued for a very long time.
Correct. It went on for basically 3 months, well into over 90 days. It was the longest hunger strike on record by the time that the strike was eventually called off. And again, you make a very good point there in terms of the physical condition of these men, again, because they had been held in prison on remand, constant remand. Some of them were not necessarily in a very good state of health to undertake the hunger strike. I think one should remember that it's probably uncertain as to how many of them believed that they would be released pretty quickly. The British government had, since the death of Thomas Ashe in 1917, an absolute catastrophic event for the British government, had generally tended to release hunger strikers rather than either force feed them, which the death of Ashe had really ruled their option out, or allow them to starve. The turning point had really come earlier in the year with two big hunger strikes in Mountjoy and in Wormwood Scrubs in the spring. The government had released large numbers of prisoners, some of them by accident. And as far as the British government was concerned, that hadn't had the effect of diminishing the IRA's campaign. If anything, it had grown in strength since then. So the government took the decision in the autumn of 1920 that anyone who went on hunger strike would be allowed to die, in effect.
So the policy then had changed in the months before the strike got underway. What was the impact, in terms of the War of Independence, the impact of this hunger strike going on for so long, a number of deaths before it was over? And because I think you argue that it was a far greater impact than some of the direct military action that was undertaken by the IRA.
Well, I suppose it's the nature of the hunger strike. And of course, one should remember that 2 days after the hunger strike began in Cork, the Lord Mayor of Cork, Terence McSweeney, was arrested. He was taken over to Brixton Prison in London. So his hunger strike operates in tandem with the hunger strike in Cork. And if one takes them as a joint action, even though, of course, they were distinct, I suppose the very nature of the hunger strike, it's a passive action, in effect, as far as the hunger strikers were concerned. They were allowing the government to do their worst to see men die of hunger. That inevitably elicited a degree of sympathy from quarters that perhaps wouldn't have been particularly supportive of the overt military campaign, thinking here in particular of the church. Even though there was a very interesting debate, perhaps more in the English church, I think, rather than the Irish church, as to the nature of the hunger strike, whether it constituted suicide or not. But generally speaking, the hierarchy gave pretty strong support to the hunger strike, and certainly at parish level and certain orders like the Capuchins, but came out very, very strongly in support of the hunger strikers. So from that point of view, it acted as well as a complement to the military campaign.
Yeah, even though some of the men struggled with the morality of this.
Yes, absolutely.
That it was at odds with their Catholic conscience.
Well, the suggestion was that it constituted a form of suicide, and that this was therefore not licit. It was also, of course, from a civil point of view, a criminal act. I suppose to summarise a debate that I give a lecture on that takes about an hour in 2 seconds,
right.
It was the distinction was between, as it were, the taking of one's life and the giving of one's life for the cause. And that ultimately was the nub of the issue.
All right, well, perhaps we'll have you back to tease that out a little further at some point in the future as we continue to look back on these events of 100 years ago. But for the moment, Dr. Gabriel Doherty from UCC, thank you very much indeed for talking to us.